Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Owyhee Canyonlands is the topic of our program this morning. Carved by desert rivers winding toward the Pacific, Oregon's Owyhee Canyonlands is the last great unprotected expanse of the American West. Its craggy red rock canyons, blue ribbon trout streams, and rolling hills make up a diverse wild land nearly the size of Yellowstone, home to a rich array of wildlife. There's no place else like it. And there is a coalition of businesses, conservation groups, friends, Oregonians, and citizens throughout the United States who are working on a campaign to permanently protect this more than 2 million acres in Oregon's Owyhee Canyonlands, which is in the southeast corner of Oregon. And why does this matter to all of us? Because people also care about protecting the Columbia River Estuary where we are, and we're all connected. Today, I'm very fortunate to have, by phone from Portland, I have Bob Reese on the line. Bob is the Executive Director of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders and President of Northwest Guides and Anglers. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. I'm very glad to have you on the phone here today, and thanks for doing this. And I also have Chad Brown. Chad is the founder and creative director of Soul River Runs Deep. Hi, Chad.
Hello.
So, Chad, you and Bob know each other. You're in the same place at the same time, and so we're going to be able to talk about why the Owyhee Canyonlands is so important to all of us, this Oregon treasure, which needs to be protected. So before we begin talking about it and introducing maybe some folks listening who are not familiar with this part of Oregon, let's learn a little bit about each one of you. So Bob, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm a sixth-generation Oregonian. I grew up in the Willamette Valley, but moved to the Oregon coast when I first started work for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, but also started a guide business on the Oregon coast, both in the lower Columbia River and Tillamook Bay, where I spent my last 20 years in Bay City, Oregon. So professional fishing guide and executive director for the Association of Northwest Steelheaders, I'm everything fish.
Everything fish, and you are also coast and desert. You're connected. Fish connect you in both of those ways, in both of those areas, right?
Yeah, I'm also an avid hunter in the state of Oregon as well. So hunting, getting out of the coastal wetlands and into the dry, more arid country to pursue elk and turkey and deer is a big favorite of mine as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob. And Chad Brown, please tell us about yourself.
Yes, I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, served in a couple campaigns when I was in the service, from Desert Storm, Somali Operation Restore Hope, and Operation Deep Freeze. Out of that whole situation and crisis coming out, I got hit with heavy PTSD and kind of ended up finding the outdoors pretty much as my healing process of getting back into society. And getting back into society became, fly fishing became kind of like my medicine to help me cope with what I deal with my PTSD today. That led me into opening up and launching my nonprofit company and also my business for profit, which is Soul River and Soul River Inc., based here in Portland, Oregon.
And why don't you tell us again what Soul River and Soul River Inc. is?
Really, a focus on a nonprofit, the Soul River Inc., is really about bringing Comet vets and merging them with the inner city kids and connecting them to the outdoors, where a veteran basically serves a kid from the inner city and gives them leadership and life skills. And you know, it's interesting, but the kid actually serves the vet and gives them a purpose to live. And we do this on our public lands, around our wild rivers and fresh water, and we hold many different classes in the outdoors where that veteran basically is leading that kid in the outdoors on our programs.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you also then have, you have Portland's first outdoor lifestyle apparel brand inspired by fly fishing, Soul River Runs Deep. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm basically bringing two worlds of urban lifestyle mixed with fly fishing together, kind of like a fused mass fusion of many different of elements from the outdoors that we see into an urban fashionable lifestyle, basically. It's kind of more geared towards that younger culture, you know, from T-shirt design and build itself into fly rods. And it's more as in a retail place. But everything I sell in the retail front, 15% goes back into my nonprofit that helps in the support of the continuation of getting inner city kids and vets together into the outdoors. And also I campaign to help make everything zero cost for the inner city kids and vets to explore and learn from one another on our expedition trips.
Hmm. Oh, Chad, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for doing that important work. And fly fishing, all of us who love rivers and streams, and I don't know of people who don't. I think that maybe people are beginning to realize that fly fishing is a meditation. It's a healing, as you say. It's something that just renews our spirits. And we'll talk about how fly fishing happens in the Owyhee. But first, for those listeners who are not familiar with the Owyhee Canyonlands, Bob, can you tell us a little bit about what they are, where they are, why they're important?
Sure. First of all, the Owyhee Canyonlands really is a tract of Oregon that exceeds over 4 million acres. The area that we're trying to protect is around 2.5 million acres that exists right in the southeast corner of Oregon. And it is a unique bioregion of Oregon, just like Western Oregon is, Southwest Oregon is. It offers just an incredible array of different species and biodiversity between plants and animals and flora and fauna, and it just is a unique corner of Oregon that everybody should take the time to explore.
Well, it reminds one of Utah in a way, those red rock, the red rock canyons and the rock formations, and that feeling that you really are alone with just this huge landscape.
Indeed, yeah, and you know, that's just part of it, of course, but just being in the remote areas of Oregon where you don't have the noise and you don't have the clutter and you don't have the population densities that we experience here in the west side, I was recently there myself, and just the night sky, it's really been identified in a lot of different ecological factors and the benefits that those factors bring. You know, unless you go out and experience it yourself and have a true appreciation for the diversity that exists out there, it ranks incredibly high from many different aspects. It's just something everybody has to go see.
Exactly. And I don't think people can envision that this exists in Oregon. I know it also exists in Idaho, and in Idaho it's protected. Can you address that?
Yeah, the canyonlands on the Idaho side did gain protection here a short while ago, and it really happened through the same types of deep conversations we're trying to have here on the Oregon side. What's happened because of the protections on the Idaho side is that recreationalists, particularly ATVs, have come to explore the Oregon side because of the more freedoms they have to run the ATVs on the Oregon side. So there is a plus side, the fact that the Idaho side did get those additional protections, but the downside of that is that the Oregon side is receiving more attention and more recreational use than it historically has because of the opportunities that exist on the Oregon side.
Right, and I think we should talk about the fact that when, and I know this is a political campaign, and permanently protecting the canyonlands would still allow for, you know, obviously camping and fishing and boating and hunting and hiking, and that working farms and ranches would continue to operate. It's, you know, the only thing that then would not be allowed would be, I mean, you're just looking at making sure that the canyonlands are not destroyed.
Yeah, that's right. And that's something that's just becoming even more challenging to get in Oregon is simple access to these lands. These are public lands. They historically have been. And the continued use of what those canyon lands are contributing to right now, existing grazing rights would continue on. Even the mining claims that are already in place would continue on as well. But what it allows is the kind of access that we're seeing closed up. Historically, hunters and anglers got to use private lands to do what we love to do best, which is hunt and fish. those lands are getting closed up because of private corporations, depending on what side of the state you're on. Some of the corporations are on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. Foreign-owned and invested corporations are locking up large tracts of land in Oregon for their private use, and we're losing access to that. So it makes it even more important to maintain the access and promote the access that hunters and fishers are losing at a rapid pace here in the West.
Exactly. And maybe folks don't know that the Owyhee Canyonlands are home to one of the nation's largest herds of California bighorn sheep, as well as pronghorn antelope, Rocky Mountain elk, mural deer, 7 species of bats, greater sage grouse, songbirds, red band trout, long-nosed snakes, pygmy rabbits. It's historical, and it's unique. And one of the things that I was fascinated by when I started doing research before this program is the fact that Oregon is actually at a wilderness deficit compared to neighboring states. And when you read that, you think, what? Really? Because we do have land use laws protecting farmland. But I didn't know about the wilderness acreage. So, for example, in California, which has a state acreage of, well, we won't even go into all those numbers, but we'll just say that in California, 15% of the state is wilderness. In Washington, it's 10%. In Idaho, it's 9%. And in Oregon, it is 4%. So the goal of this campaign is to make not only politicians and the general public aware of the fact that we have this treasure which needs to be protected for future generations. How is that going? You mentioned something about Senators Wyden and Merkley. Please talk about that a little bit, Bob.
Sure. Well, certainly a positive first step is getting our policymakers to recognize that this is a unique place that deserves protection for future generations. Senators Merkley and Wyden just introduced a mineral withdrawal bill for the Owyhee Canyonlands, which does protect it from future use of mineral extraction, including gold and uranium, as well as gas that could be extracted from those lands. So, of course, you know, we'd love to get a wilderness designation. We will take a wilderness designation any way we can get it. This is a positive first step of our senators recognizing this as a unique landscape that deserves protection because of what lies ahead for Oregon's future.
Exactly. And I've just read that, you know, Oregon is now the number one state that people are moving to in the nation. So that will put there'll be more demand on all of our resources.
Absolutely. And certainly we kind of think it's the growth is happening in the urban areas, which is certainly true, but these rural areas are growing as well. I mean, people understand the value of living in rural Oregon. They're retiring from other parts of the country. They realize that real estate in these rural areas is really reasonably priced, and those areas are growing exponentially as well. And so the use of the land and the people are going to want to recreate there in greater numbers, and they're going to want to extract the natural resources that are in existence in those areas. So now is the time to protect these places for future generations of Oregonians.
And how is that being done? I know for those of you who are unfamiliar with the Owyhees, or if you know about them but you aren't familiar with the website, it's wildowyhee, O-W-Y-H-E-E, .org. And if you go to the Wild Owyhee website, then you will see photos, you will learn, and there's actually a petition, correct, Bob, that people can sign online?
Yep. We certainly are welcoming people to join the campaign, and it is simple as adding your name and spreading the word about how important this campaign is to all Oregonians. So there's a lot of different actions to take to help ensure that this takes place.
Exactly. So I would ask that people visit that part of the world to see what is at stake, to see how rare this ecosystem is, and again to go to the wildowyhee.org website. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today I have a phone conversation going with Bob Rees. He is the executive director of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders and president of Northwest Guides and Anglers. I also have Chad Brown on the phone. He is the founder and creative director of Soul River Runs Deep. And both of these gentlemen are fly fishermen. And We are talking today about a campaign by a coalition of Oregonians, of Americans, of businesses and conservation groups to protect more than 2 million acres of Oregon's Owyhee Canyon lands, which are located in the southeast corner of the state. Chad, we really haven't talked to you very much, so let's hear why the Owyhee Canyon lands are important to you. And I know you just went there as well. Bob said he'd just come back. So why don't you give listeners a bit of your experience, please?
Sure. The Owyhee Canyon lands is very important for me. Just before I even go to the second question, on a personal level, is just because I'm try to stay keep one foot really connected to the outdoors, and being in the wilderness, being on wild rivers, etc. Especially me as an angler chasing steelhead in the Northwest, is all important, which is medicine for me because I'm not taking traditional meds. And the nature of the outdoors is my medication. And to speak on the other vets on behalf, a lot of vets can relate to that. And it's very important for all of us to be in the outdoors. And this trip that I've taken to the Owyhee Canyonlands with the youth, it was an awesome experience, especially going to remote area, untouched ground areas, especially for a lot of youth that I bring, because the youth, they have never really been in the outdoors, and so this was the first time, first of experiences, basically, even put on wading boots and wading in the water, first time catching brown trout, and it was also amazing. And then you have the veterans right there that's basically guiding the kids into after these awesome, beautiful, trout, and it's an awesome experience. And being out there, everything's, like I said earlier, everything's raw, it's natural. There's a beauty to this, and if anybody's ever been to the Deschutes, I always say basically Hawaii is almost like the Deschutes on steroids, basically. I mean, it's just phenomenal. The canyons are rich, deep. The waters run really nice and smooth. One of my favorite time when I was there was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We would wait out, and it was like seemed like the right time, perfect time, and you start to see a hatch that's coming off the water. And all of a sudden, you start, the water starts to boil with all these brown trout, and, you see all these kids, some of them were actually running away from the trout. they didn't know what was going on. It was new to them, And so after when they, registered in mind and understand what was going on, it was a lot of oohs and ahs, and we were out there from 3 o'clock all into the late afternoon just chasing brown trout. And that place is it's like an aquarium, I've never seen so much brown trout there in my life, and it was unbelievable to be able to witness that kind of activity in its raw, natural environment. And certain places you just can't go, especially in Oregon, to chase brown trout. Rainbow trout you can, but brown trout is very hard to try to find that kind of sport, basically. And so the Owyhee Canyonlands definitely offers that opportunity for people of anglers that will love the experience going after brown trout. And it was a phenomenal experience between the youth and the vets, and it ended where a lot of the youth and vets didn't want to depart from from the area. They wanted to continue to stay there, but we had to leave.
Well, so that's because it connects us back. I mean, really, we are nature. We're not separate from nature, but it is harder and harder now to find places where you can experience deep silence, peace, the night sky, and when you have a place that is this rare with this kind of ecosystem, then we have to treasure it, because otherwise it will be destroyed. It will go away. We won't have it, and for future generations.
Right.
So you're experiencing this with veterans and with the young people, and for you, as you said, it's medicine. But all of us need that kind of medicine.
Absolutely, we all need it, and it's around us. And I always say to certain people, it's like the outdoors, the Owyhee Canyonlands. Everywhere we go here in Oregon, your Native Americans know about that kind of medicine, and we've been moving forward in our society with so many fast-paced type of things that a lot of us have forgotten about what that medicine is. And so when we get back in contact with nature we start to identify with that, and it starts to open up, and we start to realize that, oh, this is real, this feels right, this is helping me cope, this is helping me in my calm state, et cetera, you know. And so for me, the river is something that I try to stay very, very close to. But for anybody else going in the outdoors, it's a natural medicine. It's medicine to the soul. It keeps us grounded. You know, it helps us focus, rethink things out, or whatever we're going through in our day-to-day lives. From the youth perspective, it's the same thing just as much as the veteran perspective, you know. But, again, we all have many different things that we cope with, and we can use the outdoors as our natural healing ground to work through those problems that we're dealing with. Hawaii Canyonlands is a phenomenal place to find and get a good dose of that natural medicine.
Yes, and Oregon, in my opinion, has everything. It has the ocean, it has forest, it has and again, you don't think about the desert like the Owyhee Canyonlands existing in Oregon. Bob, how do you feel about that? It sounds like, I know you're there hunting and fishing, but if you were going to explain and tell people about the Owyhee Canyonlands, what words would you use?
Well, it's hard to follow Chad. I mean, he explained it so perfectly, and to be able to take the young folks out there, the younger generation, to really understand what it's like to not see a car for 10 miles. I drove 10 miles of dirt road to get to the place where we were going to hike down into the Canyonlands. Never saw another vehicle, never saw another human being out there. Did our hike down, about a 5.5-mile hike down into the canyon, set up camp. We never saw a raft come down the river. We never saw another angler. And we were in a spot, and many, many of these exist along the entire reach. I was fishing a little bit higher than where Chad fishes. I could literally stand in a spot and make 30 casts and get 30 bites for a smallmouth bass. I mean, it's consistent, constant, incredible action that would get any kid hooked on the outdoors. So, all I could think about when I was catching a fish every cast was, man, I want my daughter to experience this. I want my daughter to get hooked on fishing. I want to take other kids out here to show them, you know, what the possibilities are away from city life and away from electronics. Thank God we didn't have any internet down there in the bottom of the Canyonland. So something that many of our kids do not get a chance to experience. I never would have had a chance to experience the outdoors if it wasn't for a mentor, much like Chad, to take me out there. I grew up in Northeast Portland, and it became really clear in my first experience in the outdoors, the unique opportunities that exist here in Oregon. And if you don't have somebody that is versed in going out there and taking you and understanding the biological diversity and how the ecosystems function, it's not a safe place for somebody just to go wandering out there and learn how to do it. You need to go with somebody that knows the landscape and can show you how to appreciate everything that exists in this very unique landscape.
And obviously the Owyhee Canyonlands offers something for everyone, whether you're a photographer, if you are a writer, if you are an artist, if you are a backpacker, if you just want to go and experience that kind, again, of deep silence, which exists only in the natural world and which is becoming, you know, more and more rare. So the Owyhee Canyonlands is, again, the largest intact, unprotected stretch of the American West. And so Oregon has an opportunity right now with this campaign, which is which you can find out about, the Owyhee Canyonlands campaign. It's a statewide effort to permanently protect more than 2 million acres, and there are 4 million acres there in Oregon's Owyhee Canyonlands. And you can go to the Wild Owyhee, OWYHEE.org website to find out more information, and there's a petition you can sign. A way to engage and save this rare treasure that belongs to all Oregonians and indeed everyone throughout the world. We just have a few minutes left, so Chad, are there any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
The Owyhee Canyonlands is definitely a magical, natural space of environment that we must protect. And to anyone who has not been able to visit, or, you know, please, number one, go out there, make some time, and see what we're talking about. You know, whether you're angler, hunter, photographer, you'll find your jewel there, no matter what. And after that, you know, go online and sign that petition. You know, we need more folks and more support to add to that petition, and that will help us be able to, you know, protect the Owyhee Canyonlands. And so that's my only two things that I would say is go out there and visit, explore, and see what this landscape is and what the environment has to offer, and then go online and get behind us and support us as much as possible just by signing that petition.
Yeah, and the Owyhee Coalition, really, it consists of local, regional, and national groups that recognize the conservation, recreation, and economic values of the Owyhee Canyons, and they support this campaign. And so, and there are a lot of great organizations. This pristine place, which only exists here in Oregon. Bob, any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listening audience?
Yeah, you know, I talked about more of a personal experience from just coming out of Canyonlands less than a week ago, but, you know, you can't really express what happens out there until you go out there and see it yourself, but many different people, from scientists to biologists and ecologists, all are in agreement. A recent publication from the Conservation Science Partners talks about the high marks that this place reaches for ecological connectivity, night sky darkness, proximity to protected areas, and landscape naturalness. It all, you know, adds together. People are really coming together as a coalition to understand and to help promote the idea of conserving this special place to our policymakers. We need the voices to continue to come on board, continue to respect and admire this place called the Owyhee Canyonlands, and make sure that it exists for future generations of Oregonians to enjoy.
Yes, absolutely. It is one of the treasured memories of my daughter's childhood, for me and for her, is when we camped in Leslie Gulch, which has these incredible red rock formations. There are deposits of ash from ancient volcanoes. There are all these canyons, and we hiked, and it was magical, as you said earlier, Chad. And that stands out as one of the best trips that we had as a family, being in Leslie Gulch, and that's one of the more accessible areas of the Owyhee Canyonlands. So thank you both so much for being on the program. Thanks for making the time, Chad and Bob. And again, the show today has been about this campaign, the Owyhee Canyonlands Campaign, a statewide effort to permanently protect the Owyhee Canyonlands. And I really urge you all to go to the Owyhee, O-W-Y-H-E-E, wildowyhee.org website and learn more about it, and then schedule a trip there. It's something that you will be very grateful that you did. And again, thanks to all of you and to the Oregon Natural Desert Association, all the various organizations who are part of this. And hopefully now more people will know about it because of this program and because of all the good work that you all are doing. And we will be able to protect this area for ourselves and for future generations. Thank you all so much for being on this program. I want to thank Graham today for engineering this program. It's always a little challenging to do the phone patches. However, I think this one worked pretty well. My gratitude to our local talented banjo instructor, Michael Bruin, for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. This is why we need wilderness. It's why we need breathing, because we're all running and we're all so busy and there's so much noise and chaos around us. So take that deep breath right now and then focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't. Watching the news can be very depressing. And so find a moment to take a breath, to be peaceful, to listen to the birds singing, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.